John 8, beginning in verse 12. Our words for kids this morning, I just have one word for kids, and that is follow. Follow is our word for the morning. I wanted to pick light, but I think I say it over 100 times, so that would be overwhelming. Okay, so obviously we're looking at light this morning as we look at John chapter 8, verse 12 and following. And as we consider light, it kind of makes me think of bugs. When it comes to light and bugs, there are two extremes. There are some bugs that hate the light. Cockroaches are an example of such bugs. Now, when I lived in Uganda, at one point in time I had a latrine. And if you don't know what a latrine is, basically I just have a little, it's like a little box and there's a little hole in the ground, and that was my bathroom. It was really dark and damp, and I had a cockroach problem because the cockroaches love the darkness. They love that damp place where they could, whatever cockroaches do, I don't know what they do. But there were so many of them there, and at one point I opened my door and the light of the sun like shone in on them, and you can see all of these cockroaches trying to scatter, and they didn't really have a lot of places to go, but you could see them scattering because they hate the light. They love the darkness. What I've read is that when cockroaches see the light, they see it as an exposure to a sort of threat. And I'm not an expert, but I from my experience, if I see a cockroach in the light, I'm not going to keep it as a pet. We'll just say it like that. So there's probably a reason that they should be scared of the light. But they hate the light. They love the darkness. Now, on the other hand, there are many bugs that love the light. Have you ever been outside on a dark summer night, and maybe you have whatever outdoor light you have on? What happens with the bugs? Bugs come out of nowhere, and they just flock to the light. These types of bugs, they love the light. And it reminds me of that scene from A Bug's Life. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. It's a cartoon. But there's this scene with two flies, and it's like the light trap. And the one fly is, yeah, you know what I'm talking about? The one fly is flying towards it, and the other fly is like, Harry, no, look away from the light. And the other fly is like, I can't help it. It's so beautiful. And then he gets zapped. It's kind of funny. You can YouTube it. It's like 17 seconds long. But some bugs love the light. So some bugs hate the light. Some bugs love the light. Now, if people were bugs, thankfully we're not, but if people were bugs, this would describe us. There would only be two types of people in the world. There are people who love the darkness and hate the light, and so they walk in the darkness. And there are those that love the light, and so they walk in the light. Now, when it comes to our passage this morning, Jesus is going to boldly proclaim that he is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, and so let us be like the bugs that love the light, and let us follow the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Let us follow the light. With that in mind, let's look at our passage together. I'm going to read John 8, 12 through 30. Please stand as you're able for the reading of God's word. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said to him, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'?" Jesus said to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. This is the word of God that cannot and does not fail. You may be seated. So our passage this morning takes place on the last day of the Feast of Booths. And if you remember from previous sermons, the Feast of Booths is one of the most joyous festivals on the Jewish calendar. And what they would do at one point in the festival is they would be in the temple courtyard, and they would have these four giant pillars about 75 feet tall, and each one of them would have four little lamps kind of coming out of them, and they would shine this bright light. And so here's a picture of what I think is a helpful description of what is going on here. So you can see the four pillars, each one having four lamps coming out of it. And just as an aside, I got this picture from this book called Who is Jesus? This is a children's book that I would highly, highly recommend. I actually use it for sermon prep. Like, it's that good. So, who is Jesus? Get it, read it with your children. Be blessed. Okay, so what they would do is the priests would use their old garments as wicks, and they would carry a large amount of oil to the top of these giant pillars, and they would light them on fire. And all through the night, people would celebrate, and they would sing, and they would dance in the midst of this light. And these lights, these lamps, they would light up the whole city of Jerusalem so that it looked like the temple itself was glowing. It would give life to all of Jerusalem, light, not life. And at the same time, it would remind the people of the pillar of fire in the wilderness. If you remember way back from Exodus when they were in the wilderness, they had the pillar of fire that they would follow in the wilderness, and that was the Lord himself leading them. And because it would remind them of that, they would just rejoice in the light. It was an amazing, happy, celebratory time where they would hang out in the light. And it's in this context where Jesus boldly proclaims in verse 12, he says this, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So Jesus begins, "I am the light of the world." Here we have that important phrase again that we've seen before where it kind of sounds like Jesus is stuttering. He says, "I am." In Greek, it's ego eimi, and in Greek, it's kind of like he's stuttering because it's like, I myself am. But this is not Jesus stuttering. This is Jesus again, as we've seen before, proclaiming that he is the great I am. Jesus is proclaiming that he is the Lord. He's proclaiming that he is Yahweh, that he is the self-existent, self-sustaining, eternal God who has promised to be with his people. Jesus is Yahweh, and he is the light of the world. Jesus is the great I am who is the light of the world. And so just picture those big giant pillars giving light to all of Jerusalem. That's the picture that's in mind here. And Jesus is saying that he gives light not just to Jerusalem, but to the whole world. Now, this does not mean that Jesus literally has flames coming out of his hair that is very bright so that the whole world can see it. Jesus is talking metaphorically here when he says that he is the light. And oh, how I wish I had time to talk about what all of it means that Jesus is the light. And I actually had a moment this week where I'm like, maybe I should just do a whole sermon on the light. But I thought, no, I want to finish the Gospel of John sometime this millennium. That's the goal. So what I want to do is look at light just really briefly. The two main things that we need to know about light when it comes to this particular passage. So there's many things more in the Bible, but when it comes to this passage, what we need to know is that light makes things in the dark known, and light gives life. So first, light makes things in the dark known. So like I said before, I used to live in Uganda as a missionary, and there would be times where you're walking around at night, and there would be nights where it would get so dark, especially if it was kind of cloudy, that it would be like basically pitch black, and you're like walking around in the dark trying to find like a little path. And if you're a Westerner like me, that's kind of scary because of snakes and other things like that. So we would have to carry our little flashlights with. We also were influenced by British English, so we would call them torches, but that just means flashlight. And the light would give light to the path. That flashlight would make things in the dark known. And that's the first thing that we need to know about light, is it makes things in the dark known. In particular, there are two things that Jesus being the light makes known. And that is, the light exposes sin, the light makes sin known, and the light makes God known. So the light makes things in the dark known, specifically sin and God himself. The second thing we need to know about light is that it gives life. Light gives life. So May is planting season, and many of you are planting your crops, or maybe you're planting a garden, or maybe you're planting flowers. Whatever it is you're planting, if those plants don't get light, what happens to them? It's okay to answer. They die. If the plants don't have the light that they need, they die. Without light, they die. But with light, they have life. Light gives life. And Jesus is the light of the world who gives life. Jesus is the light of the world so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal light. So Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light that makes sin and God known, and Jesus is the light that gives life. So Jesus goes on to say then, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, I don't know about you. We've been studying the Gospel of John for a while, but when I read this instinctively, I actually think that he's saying, whoever believes in me shall not walk in darkness. But he actually says, whoever follows me. And that's a little bit of a difference than what I would expect. But I believe Jesus is doing that on purpose. Because remember, this celebration of the Feast of Booths, it would have reminded them of the glory of the Lord in the pillar of fire in the wilderness. And they would follow that pillar of fire. So to follow the pillar of fire would be to follow the Lord. And so when Jesus says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, he's again proclaiming that he is the Lord. He's proclaiming that he's even greater than the pillar of fire in the wilderness. And whoever follows him will not walk in darkness. So I believe that he's using that very intentionally. So when we follow Jesus, we're following God himself. When we follow Jesus, we're following the light, and we are walking in the light. But Jesus says, whoever follows him will not walk in darkness. So what does that mean? So if the light makes known sin and God, and if the light gives life, then walking in darkness is the opposite of those things. To walk in darkness then would mean to live in sin. It would be to not know God. It would be to not have spiritual life. To walk in darkness is to live a life without knowing God. It's to live a life without a personal relationship with God. It's to live a life with no true spiritual life, where you wander around living for your own selfish pleasures and desires. And therefore, to walk in darkness is to live a life of sin and selfishness that ultimately leads to eternal death. It's a very dark picture. However, if you follow Jesus, as he says, then you don't walk in darkness. To follow Jesus then is to walk in the light. To follow Jesus is to live a life of knowing God. To follow Jesus is to live a life of being convicted over your sin and then bringing your sin to the Lord, to the only one that you can confess your sin to, and you will be forgiven. It's to live a life in intimate relationship with God. It's to live as if you have been made alive together with Christ. So to truly follow Jesus is to walk in the light. And so again, let us be like the bugs that love the light, and let us follow the light. And what we're going to see in the rest of this passage is that these Jewish leaders are not following Jesus because they are walking in darkness. They are like the cockroaches that love the darkness, and they don't want their evil deeds to be exposed, and so they're going to do whatever it takes to discredit Jesus. And that's what we see right away here, verse 13. The Pharisees respond to Jesus by trying to discredit him. Specifically, they say that your testimony is not true because you bear witness about yourself. Now just think about what they're saying here. They're saying that Jesus is bearing false witness. They're saying that Jesus is a liar. They're saying that the one who exposes the truth or who makes known the truth is actually covering it up. That's a pretty bold declaration for these people who are walking in darkness. And their reasoning, like I said, is because he only bears witness about himself. Now, if you remember in the Old Testament law, we've looked at this a number of times, that a witness has credibility only on the evidence of two or three other witnesses. And this is written in the law, but Jesus has shown over and over and over and over and over and over again that he is who he says he is. And at this point, these Jewish leaders and these Pharisees, their hearts are so hard and they love the darkness so much that they will do whatever it takes to discredit Jesus. Don't we see this in our own day as well? Where people can be presented with overwhelming evidence about the truthfulness of Jesus Christ, that he is who he says he is, and yet people will do whatever it takes to discredit him. Why? Why do they do that? Because they are like the cockroaches and they love the darkness. They don't want their sin to be exposed. And so they will do whatever it takes to discredit Jesus. Even if the evidence is overwhelming, they don't want to be exposed because they love the darkness. Now Jesus responds to these Jewish leaders in verses 14 through 18. And he proclaims that if he bears witness about himself, his testimony is true because he came from God and he's going back to God. In other words, Jesus doesn't need two or three witnesses. Because he is God. He is Yahweh in the flesh, and his signs and his teaching have over and over again proven that he is who he says he is and that his testimony is true. However, they're judging Jesus only from outward appearances, and so they're missing him. They're judging him by human appearances, and so they don't truly know who he is. When you're walking in darkness, you can't see the light. When it's pitch black, there is no light. And that's how you could describe these Pharisees here. But Jesus actually goes on to add that I actually do have a second witness, and it's God the Father. God the Father has borne witness to the truthfulness of Jesus Christ. And we see this over and over again, even through his signs, but especially at the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God descended and rested upon him. And the voice of God the Father audibly declared, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So God the Father himself bears witness to the truthfulness of Jesus. God the Father bears witness that Jesus is who he says he is. And therefore, Jesus' testimony is true. There are no more witnesses to call to the stand. The case is closed. Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is the light of the world. Now, these Jewish leaders continue to show that they're walking in darkness. Jesus just declared that the Father has borne witness about him, and they ask in verse 19, "Where is your Father?" Jesus is clearly talking about God the Father, but they are walking and covered by so much darkness that they have no clue about what Jesus is talking about. And so Jesus responds, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." Remember that the light makes things known, and like I said, the light makes God known, and that's one of the things that Jesus came to do. He came to make God known. Or to say it in another way, you cannot know God the Father without first knowing God through Jesus. You need to go through Jesus to get to the Father. This is why one of his most famous sayings is, "I am the way and the truth and the life." You know, it's kind of interesting. There are people all over the world who claim that they know God without Jesus Christ. Or maybe to say the same thing in a slightly different way, people say that you can obtain enlightenment through doing various things, but without Jesus Christ. But what we must know is that you cannot obtain enlightenment, and that means different things to different people, but you cannot obtain enlightenment without the light of the world. You cannot know God the Father without first knowing Jesus Christ. To know God the Father, you have to go through Jesus Christ. You cannot know God without first knowing Jesus. But these Pharisees are walking in so much darkness that they know neither God nor Jesus himself. Now, the word for knowing here is the same word that we looked at a few weeks ago, where it means more than just knowing about. It means knowing in a personal relationship way. So it's not just knowing things about, it's having a personal relationship with God. And this is a huge way to know whether or not we are walking in darkness. Do you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Is that the most important relationship in your life? Are you walking in light of that relationship with Jesus and God? If you're walking in that personal relationship, then that shows that you're walking in the light. And if you're walking in the light, then I want to encourage you this morning, keep walking in the light. Keep walking in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, verse 20 tells us that Jesus spoke these words in the treasury as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So we've seen over and over again that these people are seeking to arrest him, that they're wanting to kill him. And there he is. He's right there in the open. He's in the public. But no one arrested him yet. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. We've actually seen this line a few times already in the last couple of chapters. But we see God's hand all over this. Nothing happens apart from God's sovereign hand. And what Jesus is about to do is all going to take place according to God's sovereign hand. Or let me just say it in a slightly different way. The light will shine in the darkness, but the darkness will not overcome it. In the battle between light and darkness, light always wins. Have you ever been in a room that has no windows and it's just completely pitch black? And you turn on a light? What happens? The light overcomes the darkness. The light overtakes all of the darkness in the room. The light always wins over darkness. And Jesus is the light of the world, and he will always win. And Jesus is always turned on. The switch is always turned on. The light will always win in the battle against darkness because Jesus is the light of the world. And so let us be like the bugs that love the light, and let us follow the light. All right, Jesus continues, and he says to them again in verse 21, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. Now, if this feels like deja vu, that's because Jesus just had this conversation with them in the context of the book just a few days ago. It's been a few weeks for us, but just a few days ago, Jesus just had this conversation with them. Jesus is going away, he's telling them. Now, we know from our side of history that Jesus is going to die, he's going to rise again, and he's going to ascend into heaven. Jesus came from God, and he's going back to God. And where he's going, these Jewish leaders and these Pharisees cannot come. Why? Because they're going to die in their sin. They're going to die in their sin. Now, notice that the word sin here is singular. So to die in their sin means that they're going to die in unbelief. It means that they've rejected Jesus, and therefore they haven't received his righteousness. It means that they've rejected Jesus, and therefore they will not receive the forgiveness of their sins. Or to say it in another way, they walked in darkness, and therefore they're going to die in their darkness. They will die in their sin, and they will not go to God, but instead they will go to hell. And this is how serious sin is. This is how serious walking in darkness is. Beloved, do you have any sins that you're walking in secret with? Do you have anything that you're trying to hide in the dark? Maybe a secret sin of lust or pornography or something like that. Do you have a sin that you're trying to hide in the dark? Sin is deadly serious, especially if it stays in the dark. You know, it's interesting, they're finding that mold is causing a lot of people problems with their health. And mold, it loves the darkness. It loves damp, dark places, which is interesting, kind of like cockroaches. I don't know if there's an overlap there. But mold loves and it grows in the darkness. And there are some molds that are so dangerous that you need, if it's in your house, you need to get rid of it or it's going to get rid of you. And how do you get rid of it? You need to expose it to the light and then you need to completely take care of it. And that's exactly what we need to do with our sin. If we have sin that's in the darkness, it's just going to grow and grow and grow like mold. And if you don't get rid of it, it's going to get rid of you. You need to kill your sin before it kills you. And one way we do that is by bringing it to the light. And the beauty of the light of the world, that is Jesus Christ, is that if we confess our sins, if we bring our sins to the light, he is the only one who is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now these Jews, they still don't understand what Jesus is talking about. They're walking in such deep darkness that they think that Jesus is saying, like, is this guy going to kill himself? Now, to the Jews, this would have been one of the darkest sins that they could think of. And the irony here is that they thought that Jesus was walking in darkness and so that he would kill himself. But in fact, he would go on not to kill himself, but to give his life up voluntarily to save his people from the darkness, people like you and me. So, beloved believer, let us pause here just for a moment and praise God that Jesus is the light of the world, and he became our darkness so that by faith we can experience his light. Let us praise God that Jesus descended into the darkness, that by faith we can experience the glory of his light. Let us praise God that Jesus entered into our darkness so that through him we can be forgiven and cleansed if we confess our sins. Praise God for the gospel. Now Jesus responds in verse 23 by declaring that they are from below and of this world. But Jesus himself, he's from above and he's not of this world. Jesus is from God, and as we'll learn in, later on in chapter 8, they are from the devil. Jesus is from heaven, they are from this world. Jesus is the light, they are walking in darkness. And because of their walking in darkness, Jesus says in verse 24 that unless they believe that he is the great I am, they will die in their sins. Here we have that phrase again, die in their sins. There's nothing more deadly serious than this. We're talking about eternal life and death here. Either you are in Christ or you are in your sin. Either you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior or you don't. And if you don't, you will die in your sins. If you reject Jesus, you are not only walking in darkness, Jesus himself says that you will one day be thrown into the place of outer darkness. But if you believe in Jesus, you will be forgiven of your sin and you will receive his righteousness. Through faith in Christ, you will be saved from the outer darkness. And so just like we paused just a moment ago, let us pause and praise God for what we have been saved from. Let us always remember what we have been saved from. Let us never forget how terrible and how dark our sin is. Let us never forget how terrible hell is in the place of outer darkness. Let us never forget how terrible that is. And let us praise God for what he has saved us from. Let us praise God that he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And let us stay in that light and walk in the light. Now, these Jewish leaders were still confused, so they asked him in verse 25, "Who are you?" Now, remember at the end of chapter 7, there was all this division about Jesus, and Jesus again and again has made it clear that he is the Messiah. He's making it clear that he is the Lord. He's making it clear that he is the light of the world, but their darkness has put a veil over their eyes, blinding them from the truth about Jesus. Are you able to see Jesus for who he truly is? Or are you blinded by a veil of darkness? If you're blinded by that veil of darkness, I pray that God would shine in your heart to show you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus responds in verses 25 and 26 by saying that he is who he says he is. He is the Messiah. He is Yahweh in the flesh. He is the bread of life, as we saw in chapter 6. He is the light of the world. He has much to say and a lot to judge these Jewish leaders for, but for now, they need to know that the one who sent him is true, and Jesus has come to declare what he has heard from the Father. In other words, Jesus is the light of the world who has come to make known the word of God. And just like that flashlight that I talked about shines the way in a dark path, Jesus is the light that lights the way for the Word of God. And so what I'm proclaiming to you this morning is that we should follow the light. How do we follow the light? We follow the light by following the Word of God. Because God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we follow the light by following the Word. Now, verse 27 tells us that these Jews still didn't understand that Jesus was talking about God the Father. They are so blinded by the darkness that it's like they're speaking two different languages. Jesus responds in verses 28 and 29 by saying that when they have lifted up the Son of Man, then they will know that he is the great I Am. When he says here, he says it a couple times, I am he, he's saying the same thing as I am the Lord, I am Yahweh. That's what he's saying. And what he's saying here is that they are the ones who will be responsible for his crucifixion. Yet, as we already looked at, no one can take Jesus' life unless he lays it down willingly. But Jesus will lay down his life, and they are going to be the ones who are responsible for his death on the cross. And they are walking in so much darkness that they're eventually going to kill the light of the world. But this was all a part of God's plan. That even though Jesus would be condemned by these Jewish leaders, Jesus says that the Father is always with him, and that Jesus says that he always does what is pleasing to the Father. And you know what's crazy? It pleased the Father to kill the Son on the cross. It pleased the Father to crush the Son, Isaiah 53 says. But why? Why would it please the Father to kill the Son? It's because he did it to shine forth his character and his glory to the world. You see, when Jesus is lifted up on that cross, his true identity will be revealed to the world. It's on the cross where the light of the world was lifted up to shine forth the glory of God. Just like those giant pillars of the Feast of Booths gave light to all of Jerusalem, Jesus, when he is lifted up on the cross, will give light to the whole world. Through the cross, everything that we need to know about God has been revealed. Through the cross, the glory of God has been revealed. Through the cross, the character of God has been revealed. Through the cross, the gospel has been made known to a lost and a dying and a dark world. Jesus is the light of the world. So, beloved believer, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Because as we gaze upon the light, we will reflect and radiate that light to a broken and dark world that desperately needs it. Have you ever seen those glow-in-the-dark stars that sometimes children put on their ceiling? You know what I'm talking about? Those glow-in-the-dark stars? Well, those glow-in-the-dark stars, they need to have exposure to the light so that they will glow in the dark. So when you turn the light off, they glow because they're reflecting and they're radiating the light that they soaked up during the day. And that's how they're designed to work. They're designed not to shine their own light, but they're designed to reflect light. We are designed in the same way. That we need to be looking and gazing upon the light of Christ. And as we look upon Christ, we will radiate and reflect that light to a dark and broken world. But just like those glow-in-the-dark stars, if they don't get their exposure to the light that they need, they don't work. Right? Have you ever tried to use them, but they don't work? It's because they didn't get the light. In the same way, if we're not gazing at the light, if we're not following the light, if we're not looking at the light, we're not going to be reflecting the light. If we're looking and meditating on the things that are in darkness, the things of this world, then we're not going to be reflecting the light. And so let me encourage you to keep your eyes fixed on Christ. Let us spend time with the light. Let us delight in the word of the light. Let us meditate on the word of God day and night. Let us pray without ceasing. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, and let us continually gaze upon him. Because as we gaze upon Christ, we will reflect the light of the world into the world. So, beloved, Jesus is the light of the world. Let us be like those bugs that love the light, and let us follow the light. And as we follow and look upon the light, let us radiate and reflect that light to a dark world. Amen? Let's pray. God, I pray that you would shine your light upon us. I pray that you would show us the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And that as we gaze upon Christ, that everything in this world will pale in comparison. And I pray that as we look upon Christ through his word, and that as we follow him, and that as we walk in the light, that we would reflect your light to this world that is so dark. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the light of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.